John Connett, our city manager, is joining us via Zoom this morning. John Connett, welcome to the Breakfast Table. Welcome to the Breakfast Club this morning. Nice to talk to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Great. First of all, John, I'm going to take just a moment and speak on behalf of Q Nation and all of us here at the radio station just to tell you how much we appreciate the work that you and all your staff have had to do over the last couple of years. It's been a real interesting time, and you guys have done just a really great job at trying to keep up with doing the right thing and doing what you have to do to continue doing what you can do and keep the city running. So on behalf of us here at the station, at least, we say thank you. Thank you to you and all your staff, because I know you would put your staff right up there.
Oh, absolutely. We have a great team. So thank you very much. And we all work together to provide those services to our citizens. So thank you very much.
And speaking of providing services, got some money coming in, that ARP funding. I can only imagine, John, with the city council, this is a lot of pressure. You got $4.5 million coming in ARP funding from the government, and you guys are stepping up and saying, all right, community, we want you to tell us how you think this money should be spent, because a lot of us have an issue many times with armchair quarterbacking. You know, when things have been done and things have been said, we like to say, well, you should have done this and you should have done that. Well, people have an opportunity to speak now, right?
Absolutely. This is, Mark, I'll finish my 30th year in local government this year, and believe it or not, and we have never seen money like this come from the federal government to local governments. Normally, it's the other way around, that they want our money versus us. So this is generational money, and the city council realizes we need to make generational impacts, because this is the citizens' money, and it needs to, however we spend it, needs to have that, you know, that transformative, that needs to last for generations to go forward. So they are out there. They've asked us as part of, you know, one of our core values and beliefs is that, you know, that we reach out to the community, and the community helps us to tell us what we need to do. We need to be transparent and have trust with the community and with each other. And what better way to show that we trust the community than to ask for their input on how we should spend some of this $4.5 million?
Yeah, and you are so right, John, when you talk about generational and this opportunity, because this is a one-time thing. It's not just like you said, in your 30 years of government, you've never seen this before. And we're going to make sure we let people know how they can speak and how they can reach out to the city council. We're going to do that here in just a moment, but let's keep talking about this for just a moment. Sure. One of the catch, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, again, we're speaking with City Manager John Connett. One of the catches about these dollars is there are restrictions ultimately on how they can and cannot be spent. So you do have somewhat of a pathway you have to take, correct? Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, this money, the idea is the money has to be put out into the community. It has to be put into the public. We have to have the money obligated.
Yep.
Decide how we're going to spend the money by 2024, and it actually has to be spent by 2026. And we have to, you know, spend it on things such as public health needs. That's dealing with anything dealing with COVID-19.
Yeah,
we can invest it in water and sewer projects. You know, particularly they're asking us to look at areas where we may have environmental risk or environmental issues. Example: lead pipes, lead service pipes. The federal government would like for us to you know, put money into replacing old lead service lines that may be going to some of our older homes. Also, along the same lines from water and sewer, how can we protect the environment by upgrading wastewater and water facilities to make sure they're state of the art? And we're dealing with you know, removing any of those things that may get into our environment. A lot of things have been said about premium pay. We're working on premium pay with our employees, revenue loss. But the other area that I think really, from a community standpoint, and we talk about transformative, are there vulnerable populations in our community where this money can make a huge impact? You know, dealing with substance abuse, dealing with mental health issues, dealing with homelessness. So this money can be spent to deal with anybody that's been negatively affected by the COVID pandemic, in the public sector, private sector, residents, we have the ability to spend that money. So we're looking for those transformative projects that we can address really in the areas of public health, water and sewer infrastructure, and the negative economic impacts for our most vulnerable citizens in our community.
Well, and we have certainly seen that, and we have certainly heard that over the last couple of years. I've interviewed so many of our area nonprofits and food banks and so forth, and they've seen a lot of people who have never needed this kind of help before suddenly show up, and they say, I've never done this before. I've never needed to go somewhere because I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. But we have certainly seen that, so that's good to hear. So talk to me about this, John. This is money that is coming to the city of Hendersonville, but it doesn't. But does this money necessarily have to stay specifically in the city of Hendersonville? And are you only looking for Hendersonville City residents, or can any resident of Henderson County give you input?
So we're asking for anybody in the county to participate in our survey.
Great,
because all local governments in the county have received some of this money. So we'll be sharing this information with our partners and the other local governments of the county, the other municipalities. So we'll be sharing this information. But, you know, since everybody received this money, you know, our money will be focused, you know, in Hendersonville or very close to Hendersonville.
Sure.
You know, be an example on the water and sewer side. If we have areas of the community where we're having septic tank failures and the septic tank, you know, they're not exactly right in the city.
Yep.
We may extend water and sewer lines into areas right around the city because obviously, you know, streams and creeks, they don't know political boundaries.
Right.
So
right.
It would make sense for us to do some things to protect our watershed and where we get our water and where we release our wastewater, things like that. But for the most part, that we would like for the money to be spent in the city. But if we partner with nonprofits and other groups to handle some of these transformative projects, such as dealing with homelessness, mental health, things like that, you know, the money will be there to set up the program, to create something that enhances the program. But we're not going to check where people live who may take advantage of the program.
It makes total sense, John. And the bottom line is, if it affects the city, then it affects residents all of Henderson County. So, I mean, that's
absolutely.
You know, we're all affected by that. So I just wanted to make sure I had that clear, just as we're promoting and talking to people. I think I heard from Allison with you guys yesterday that right now we've got about 600 folks, maybe a little more, who have gone to the public input survey that you have online, which is great. But boy, we need a whole lot more. So let's talk about the two options we have coming up. There's there's an online survey, and then there's a drop-in public meeting. So share with us that info. And you can get all this info, by the way, on the front page of our website also, right there under community events. But tell us about these things, John.
Yeah, so Allison's put together a very short, simple public input survey. You can do it on your smartphone. You can do it on your computer. And it's, like I said, it's 5 or 6 questions.
Okay.
Easy. Push the button. It's very easy. You can find that on our website or on WTZQ's website. It's a public input survey. We're keeping the survey open to February 11th. It is available in English and Spanish. Like you said, we have 600 people that replied. We'd like to have 6,000 or more to reply to the survey. So that's one option. You can go to our website and do that and do it quick and easy. You can do the survey.
Yep.
But also, for those folks who may want to come and or don't have access to an internet or technology, we're having a drop-in public input meeting next Tuesday night from 5:30 to 6:30 at our City Operations Center at 305 William Street here in Hendersonville. And we'll do a short presentation at 5:30 and then an opportunity for the community to just kind of share ideas. We'll capture the ideas on a flip chart. And then we'll get those things entered so that City Council can see those. And if you're unable to, again, if you're unable to complete the survey, we encourage you to attend, and we'll be glad to provide assistance to you in providing that feedback. So two opportunities, the survey and then the drop-in public meeting next Tuesday night.
I do love the fact that you've got different versions of this, because there are some folks who aren't necessarily comfortable with the online thing, which is fine, but this is a way they can do it in front. And there's no reason not to do both also.
That's right.
To learn more. So again, like you said, about 600 people so far have responded, but we need a whole lot more than that. And there's different ways you can do it. And again, we've tried tried to make it as easy as possible also with that great information given to us by Allison. So you can go to our website, WTZQ.com, and right there on the front page under community events, you will see, City of Hendersonville seeks public input on ARP funding priorities. All the information is right there, and you can click and go right to that easy survey. You can also see the information on the drop-in public meeting. That's another thing, John, that drop-in public meeting, that's not just open to city residents. If somebody wants to come in and learn more and give their input, they need to come to this meeting and or do this public input survey.
Absolutely. This is generational money. We want to make a generational impact, and what is good for Hendersonville is good for the whole county, and vice versa, same thing. So because these other municipalities and county government are going to be focusing on projects too, so that will benefit our community too. So, absolutely, welcome everybody.
And just like we said, the more information you get, the more input you get from the public, the better direction you'll be able to go with this money. This, just like you said, this one time, once in a generation opportunity for these type of dollars to make a big difference. John Connett, City Manager John Connett, I'm going to say again and reiterate how much we appreciate the job that you and your staff and the City Council have been doing, of course, over the past few years in a very strange time. And thanks again for being so transparent with these dollars coming in, because they can make a big difference. And we appreciate the fact that you are seeking public input in order to help make those decisions. John, thank you so much. We're going to continue to tell people how they can provide their input for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, okay?
Thank you, Mark, and I appreciate your partnership at WTZQ.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. John Connett, City Manager with Hendersonville. Again, once again, folks, you can go to our website, WTZQ.com, and right there on the front page, you will see exactly what you can click to go to that public input survey, the online survey, or the information you need for the drop-in public input meeting, which is coming up on February 1st from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the City Ops Center at 305 William Street. All right, all on our website, WTZQ.com.